So today I want to continue the series in 1 Peter, and we're going to be in chapter 4 today. The main text starts in verse 10, but last week we talked about, 2 weeks ago we had a baptismal service, and I had the whole message about baptism last week. But 2 weeks ago we said to love one another fervently, and we based that on 1 Peter, and I do want you to see a couple of these verses, verses 8 and 9 on the screen. It kind of launches us into the scriptures that we're going to talk about today. It says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. How do we accomplish this? In my former church life, I'd hear a message, and here's how I heard it taught. I am to now go out and strive to love one another. I was trying to figure out, well, how can I love my wife? How can I love my neighbor, my friend, my coworker? Because after all, I want to be obedient. I want to be a good little boy. Isn't that kind of how you were taught in church? I'm telling you that God's Holy Spirit will empower you. We're going to see today, the Holy Spirit never asks you to do anything that He's not wanting to do through you. So the key is, how do we walk in the Spirit? How do we get ourselves out of the way, quit focusing on trying to accomplish the commands of the Bible, but rest in Jesus Christ and then now let Him do it through us? So that's kind of where the gifts of the Spirit come in. If I were to summarize the sermon, I would say it something like this. How do we accomplish that, verses 8 and 9? By using the gifts He has given us to minister to each other. And then, of course, the rest of the message is going to be talking about walking in the Spirit instead of the flesh. Let me give you a quick definition of walking in the flesh. Walking in the flesh is, I hear the message, all right, my job is to go out and be a good Christian this week, and I'm going to strive to love one another. That's walking in the flesh. That's striving to accomplish something. Anytime I'm trying to serve God, or I'm trying to do something to impress God, maybe it's to quit sinning about something, or it's anything like that that I think is going to gain me more brownie points or more favor with God, friends, you are doing it for the wrong reason. You are walking in the flesh, and the Bible calls those dead works. Well, what do we need to do? We need to, first of all, rest in what Christ has done, the finished work of the cross. That's why you hear me often say, I don't have a clue what the finished work of the cross is. I've got just a smidgen of it. It's infinite, and I think I've got God's grace and love figured out. Don't kid yourself. We have never figured it out, and we never will, I don't believe, till we get to heaven. But I want to now move into the scriptures that talks about how we are to accomplish verse 8 and 9. Look at verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I've had people to say in church, I've been in church since I was a kid, raised up singing on, standing on a piano bench with my mother, my three brothers, and my mom wasn't on the piano bench, it was just the boys, okay? She could play the piano a little bit if there wasn't somebody else there, and I've been in church, like I say, since I was an infant. But over the years, I've heard people make this statement that, preacher, I wasn't a preacher back then, but I don't have any gifts. Well, even back in my legalistic days when I was preaching, I did know that this verse was in the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says, each one has received a gift. So if you're one of those who think you don't have a gift, you've got a choice here. Am I going to believe what God says, or am I going to believe what I think? Maybe you don't feel you have a gift, but you've got more gifts than you could imagine. You have the mind of Jesus Christ. You have the Holy Spirit of God living within you. You have all that you need that pertains to life and godliness, 1 Peter talks about also. You have everything because you're in Christ. He's in you. He can raise up any gift at any time He chooses to in your life. I used to really push these spiritual gift inventories. I'm not opposed to those to help you. But I used to think, well, I've got to figure out what my gift is. It says right here, I got one, so I got to know what it is. And then I'd go through all this thing. And God showed me when He called me to preach. I still stutter a lot, do things I shouldn't do in public speaking. But I had, just tell you a side story. I first started speaking, and I had an English teacher that was one of our best friends, and I literally humbled myself at First Baptist Church, Franklin, Georgia, And I told she and my wife, who was a school teacher, I said, I want you to start writing down all the terrible grammar, you know, you was, and you know, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, they literally had a, Glenda, they had a page full at the end. And guess what? I humbled myself to their submission. They had a good time with this. They said, yeah, we need a book. We just bring my notebook, you know. And I literally started working on it. And I said, you know what? I want to do my very best for the Lord. Not that I, yeah, back then I did think he was more proud of me, but I really wanted to be a good steward. This talked about this about being good stewards of the manifold grace. I wanted to be a good steward. And, you know, there's a lot of educated people out here. And when you hear these terrible grammatical things going on, and I'm not saying you need to be perfect in anything you do, but I believe a call is a call to prepare too. I really want to do my very best for the Lord. I still blow it in that grammar department. I hated English in school. I wouldn't have taken it if it wasn't required. But anyway, just so you know. But anyway, even back in then, I knew that we all had a gift. Now, there's a lot said right here in this verse. I want you to see about three things real quick. Number one, you have a gift. Each person has a gift. Excuse me, let me correct myself. Do you notice what it said? You're a special child of God. Guess what? He's given you a special gift, not just a gift, a special gift. Number two, it says what we're to do with these gifts. What does it say we're to do with them? Help me out. Employ it or use it. Serve one another, not just for yourself. And then number three, it gives us the foundation of the gifts. What's the foundation? The manifold grace of God. I love this. A steward, by the way, is simply a manager, a caretaker of what you've been given. We've been given grace. Now, share this grace with other people. If you're one of those Christians that said, you know, I've been accused of being the grace preacher in Carrollton, Georgia. And you know what? I love that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to go down as being the grace man around here. But they're not meaning it in a complimentary way. They say that he takes this grace too far. Did you know that grace is not a topic to be studied once a year? Grace is not a doctrine. Grace is a person. And when they say in out of ignorance, I love them, but they're just saying it out of ignorance. They're saying, you're taking grace too far? That means you're taking Jesus Christ too far. Wow. So, I'm okay. Paul was persecuted for this radical grace teaching. I'm in good company, don't you think? And you are too. You keep coming, you new people. They find out about it. You might not be approved of, okay? All right. So, now back to the manifold grace of God. That means an abundant grace. We're simply to keep growing in this. I talk about this a lot. And the reason I say this is because Peter, and I say this without quoting it or showing it to you on the screen, some of the last verse in Scripture that Peter records, which is 2 Peter chapter 3, look at this on the screen, verse 18, it says this, but what would you tell your family if you knew you were never going to see them again? Be a good boy. Maybe you tell them you love them. You know what Peter said? He said, but grow. He didn't say go witness. He didn't say go to church. He didn't say read your Bible. He said, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now and to the day of eternity. That's what this church is all about. Growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Because, you see, we have a secret. We know the more we grow in our understanding of who God is, first of all, and now we grow in how he sees us. How has this grace been applied? And we begin to become secure in who we are in Him. It will now start projecting and showing forth to other people. You keep growing in grace, your behavior will begin to change supernaturally. I have seen it in my life. Things that I used to just want to get judgmentalism, I'm telling you, I was a good judge. You know, we were raised under trying to stop this, start that in the church and trying to be a good Christian. Well, I started looking around and I had a lot of them beat. I was in church. I was singing. I was a deacon later on. I mean, I've done it all. And it's very easy when you start looking at yourself and your behavior, and that's what the law does. The law gets you to look at yourself and what you're doing for God instead of looking to what God has done for you. You see, grace focuses on what God has done for you. Now my doing flows out of what He has done. That's a good quote. Y'all need to write that down. You see it? Our doing flows out of what God has done. So, question, what should be our focus? If my doing flows out supernaturally as a rest, not me striving to be a good Christian, I think we need to focus on what He has done. That's exactly what Peter understood. And I wished I understood. I want to even grow in more in what this means. It's such an important thing for us to understand. Do you have a gift? You see, yes, you've got one. That's very clear. Okay. Now simply begin to walk in it. Let's jump back and then we'll unpack this a little more. Look at verse 11. It says, whoever speaks, it's 1 Peter 4:11, whoever speaks, now notice there's two things here. He talks about speaking and he talks about serving. So watch this. Whoever speaks is to do it so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do it as so one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. You see, you have nothing to do with it when you really get down to it. He wants to do it through you. So that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. There's a whole lot here. As I said, let's talk about the speaking. If you notice here, it says, whoever speaks, do it as one who is speaking the utterances of God. In other words, it is God coming forth through you, supernaturally. It could be a preacher that speaks. It could be a missionary. It could be you out there on the street. It could be you at your job. It could be our youth at school this week. Wherever you might be, God wants you to speak through you to other people. He wants, yes, your actions to show forth His goodness and grace, but He wants us to speak. You are to do so as the utterances of God. Do you have a gift? Sure you do. Then let God speak through you. And this is not a work either. I'm just telling you. If you're going to do any striving, strive to focus on Jesus Christ and be so wrapped up, so saturated in the love and grace of God, of knowing who you are, it'll just begin to flow. I had somebody one time, I was actually writing this book, and I was letting them proof it as I went through the book. And I thought that we were on the same page about the doctrine in the book and about how what I was saying, but I realized later that I wasn't. And they said, you've got to really teach people. They don't know how to walk in the Spirit. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. I can point you along the way, but ultimately, how am I to... Am I supposed to speak in tongues? Am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to do that? And all these things, he was wanting to turn walking in the Spirit into a work. And I said, listen, the Holy Spirit is big enough to do His work through me. My job is simply to focus on Him and grow in the understanding of who I am. Now I will begin to perform and do what I need to do, you see. And like I say, we can turn any part of this into a work if we want to. And I'm going to do my best not to do that. So if we're to speak through the utterances of God, how do we do this? Well, we first of all have got to understand we have the mind of Christ. We have the power of God. We have all that we need. So just keep growing in grace and trust Him. Be available to Him. You know, I've had Christians to say, even through in the grace teaching, they'll say, yeah, but I just can't do anything for God. I said, listen. That's the wrong attitude. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. How? Through self-effort? Nope. Through Jesus Christ. You can do whatever God calls you to do. I used to think spiritual gifts, I figure out what it is. Well, God can't raise up something else in my life. That's the disadvantage to spiritual gift test. You'll think, well, yeah, I seem to have this gift now. And God proved this to me when He called me to preach. I used to try to teach Sunday school lesson. I'd have the lesson right before me. I didn't have to prepare it. I didn't have to figure out what I was supposed to say. All I had to do was just teach it, you know. I would stammer around and stutter and hear God now. I felt Him calling me to preach. And I never will forget, I think I've told this story, but some of you might not have heard it. Lynn Janney, who knows who Lynn Janney is down in Verlona, Georgia. He used to be a Methodist preacher. They turned their church into a Baptist church, but just old country boy that loves the Lord. And he was helping me remodel a house that I was living in, putting a porch on a a roof over the porch. And I said, Lynn, I sense God calling me to preach. And I said, but I'm scared to death of this. I stutter, I stammer. And he said, well, the way I see it, if God can speak through a donkey, he can speak through you. And I said, you know, there is a story where God spoke through a donkey in the Bible. I said, well, all right then. I said, if God can use old donkeys, he can use an old hard-headed country boy like Carlton Rivers. And he really got my attention with that he can speak through a rock, he can speak through a tree, he can speak through whatever. You just be open and available. You see, it's not about your abilities, it's about your availability. You know, I can teach the children once a month, I can do whatever. God, you're the youth. I mean, we're all terrified. Well, what if I say the wrong thing? Hey, let me put you at rest. God is way bigger than your mess ups. Amen? Just trust him. He doesn't call the people that thinks they can do it. Look at Moses. Look at David, who was a murderer and an adulterer. And he calls the people that's messed up. Anybody here messed up? Raise your hand. Everybody, raise your hand. Guess what? He wants to use you. Yes, he wants to use you. He's so proud of you. He loves you. You have been so far. If you've been in church, you got a lot to overcome. I'm just telling you, you got a lot to overcome. He is so proud of you. He loves you so much. He's not focused on your behavior. He's focused on what he did for you at the cross. And he sees you as righteous. He sees you as holy. He sees you as redeemed. He sees past all of your junk. Hebrews 10:17, he said, I will remember your sins no more. Wow. You need to know that when you sin and blow it. Some of you might say and be thinking, and it's of the devil if you are, okay? He can plant thoughts in your mind. You can act on them or not. Some will say, you teach that. Well, they're just going to go sin now and enjoy it at the same time. That is a lie. If you do that and you take that and you say, well, I can just act any way I want to, you're really not listening to the Holy Spirit who is saying, I love you. I have forgiven you. I am not holding your sins against you. You're not letting it sink on in from the head to the heart. Because I'm telling you, Christians, back me up here if you believe this. The more I know that I'm forgiven, the more I study the Bible that says I've been forgiven, he's not holding sins against me, I'm in Christ, there's nothing, nobody can snatch me out of his love, the more I don't want to sin. Has anybody else found that to be true? Raise your hand. I'm just telling you, if you're thinking that this is giving you a license to sin, I've been sinning and everybody else has too without a license. So don't fall for that. Please don't fall for it. This has so changed my life that I'm telling you there are people that are not coming to church now because they tried to live the Christian life and they couldn't get it right. Can I tell you a word? You don't have to get it right because Jesus got it right for you. Mm-mm-mm. Don't come to church to be right with God. Come to church because you are right with God. Did you see the difference? Whew, I don't know. Yes, I do. Let's jump over for a second to Galatians 5. I love this. God showed me one time. I had heard a message. I don't know. I probably even preached one like this. And God got my attention. It was about striving to be better. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So we got over here. I said, all right, how do I love people more? How do I have joy? How do I have peace? And I set out to try to employ these or to do these things in my life. And the whole time is we forgot the whole point, which is right there, right up front in the verse. I want you to notice it says, the fruit of the Spirit is, say them with me, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Anybody need that? Against such there is no law. Do you want all that in your life? Sure you do. You have them. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Do you have the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Then you have them. The fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of me trying. It's not the fruit of Carlton or Dan or anybody else. It's the fruit of the Spirit. I want you to see a picture on the screen. Some of y'all have seen one of these growing around. That is an apple, not a tomato, just so you know, in case you can't tell. I asked the question this morning, no, it was yesterday, sorry, last night. I said, why did you say the fruit of the Spirit? And it just hit me. I got to thinking about fruit, so I thought about an apple hanging on a tree. Why did God compare His fruit or the attributes like love, joy, peace, things that we want in our life that is clearly a picture of Jesus? Why did He compare them to fruit? Could it be that a fruit just hangs there, attached to the vine? He's not striving to get ripe. Have y'all ever seen an apple or an orange striving to get ripe so they can be? I mean, it's just sitting there worried. Man, I wish I could be more like that apple. He turned red before I did. Does that sound familiar? Well, look at a sister so-and-so. If there's ever been a godly woman, that's her. Why can't I be like her? Y'all ever done that in your life? See somebody you thought had it all together? By the way, they had more problems than you thought. Folks, the fruit is to come by you just abiding in the vine. Jesus gives another parable about a vine dresser, and He said that, you know, just abide in Me and I in you. That apple is just abiding. It's hanging out with Jesus. It's hanging there on the vine. The sap and so forth is flowing through the vine, the branch, right into Him. He's just hanging there. It's just resting. What a beautiful picture. You want the fruit of the Spirit to come forth, love, joy, peace, self-control. We got to learn to abide, just rest in Jesus Christ. Quit trying to be a good Christian. That's what I thought church was all about. I've got to come. I got to figure out how to be a better Christian. God never called you to be a good Christian. He called you to abide in Him. And you let Him change you supernaturally. That ought to be a place for a good just sigh of relief. Whew. Wow. I never heard that in church before. Well, you've heard it today. Quit trying to be a good Christian. Start focusing on Jesus Christ. Start focusing on how much He loves you. Speak. Let God speak through you. Let Him serve others through you. Zechariah 4:6, look at this. Old Testament verse, very powerful. Then He said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord. God never intended you to strive to live the Christian life. The only striving I believe that we're to do is simply to yearn for the Holy Spirit just to teach you how to walk in Him. Just to yearn for Jesus Christ. You're not growing. I've heard people say, well, I just want to get closer and closer to Jesus. Hey, how much closer can you get than you're already in Him? You're in the center of Jesus Christ. Quit trying to get closer. Yes, we can be more aware of what that means to be in Him. You see? But we can't get closer to God. When you see a command like love one another fervently, when a problem comes up and you want to do that loving, you want to show others patience, self-control, that kind of thing, maybe that you don't see you doing, I want to do more of those things. When you have a problem come up, you've got a major decision to make. We face these things every day. Did you know God's very interested in that? Whatever it is you're doing. Yes, He's interested in whether you change that school and go to that school, you quit that job and start another, you start a business, you whatever. You go into following God's heart about serving with the children or youth or whatever ministry out of the box that nobody else maybe has ever done before. And yet that's in the back of your mind. Maybe God wants me to do that. You know what I believe the key is when you see these things you want to do in your life or you want to see come forth in your life? I believe that we must learn how to stand still, sit still, and see the salvation of the Lord. See the provision of the Lord. If you're not hearing clear direction about something that you're wanting to do in your life, folks, don't step out ahead of Him. Just wait. Be patient. I've had people so on fire for this grace message, and even as a new Christian, they just want to do something for God, and they say, where can I serve? Can I do this? Can I do that? And I mean, it's just they're just like, what do I do? And I say, just calm down. I said, just rest. He's big enough to tell you clearly. Sometimes he wants us to sit on the sideline and just learn to grow in Him first. I'm telling you, God had to wing me out of a lot of religion, and He's still doing that. Sometimes it's just to grow. Focus on Him. Focus on what He's done in and through you, and wants to do in and through you. Remember the Ten Commandments? I've got a video clip, 2 or 3 minutes long. And I never will forget, I was at Bethesda Baptist Church, and God had laid on our hearts, we'd outgrown the old sanctuary, and we had a choice to go to 2 services or build another building and with a big fellowship hall that could be our service area. It was a $1 million project. Total budget for that church at that time was $120,000 a year. And I was making about 40 of that, just as a full-time salary pastor. And I never will forget, we had a lot of people saying, yes, we need to do it. I had one of the matriarchs, Miss Kate Lee, I never will forget her. She said, I've seen this church, she was 80 years old. She said, I've seen this church 2 or 3 times over the years grow the way we're growing. And she said, we sat here and never did anything. She said, when I hear somebody against this building God's laid on your heart and others' heart, I just tell them, we need to do something. I said, you go, girl. You know, because she had weight in the church. And I never will forget, we in some of the meetings, they said, have you even figured out what the power bill is going to be for a building of this size? And we probably don't have the money. You see, that's human understanding. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Your own understanding is to get the calculator out. Well, that thing's going to cost this much. And we were going to do it debt-free. And we did it debt-free. He did it debt-free. And we just started. We had enough. People started giving when they heard about it. They didn't even come to the church. Had a $30,000 donation come in to that building because they had heard what was going to happen. They said, we've been waiting to see something like that happen in this community. I'm just telling you, a $100,000 donation came in right before we even started. Anyway, do you think God's interested in what you're dealing with? Maybe it's a family issue. Maybe it's a financial issue. Whatever it is, friend, God loves you and cares for you. And He hasn't forgotten you. He will let you just barrel ahead and do it in your strength if you want to. I believe what I heard a preacher say one time, when you're working and trying to figure it out, God's resting. But when you're resting, He goes to work. Right backwards to what this world says. By the way, don't try that at your workplace. It won't work. You got to perform there. But God doesn't work on man's timetable and His ways, right? Anyway, this scene, whatever that problem is pictured in your mind, something you just wish would go away, you wish was out of your life, whatever it is, maybe God wants you to stand still and rest in Him for a little while and see the salvation of the Lord. Moses had led the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. And you remember the story, Pharaoh changed his mind, so he comes after them with a chariot. And they're trapped between Pharaoh and the Red Sea. I love this scene in that story. Watch this. Isn't that a powerful scene? You know, your back's against the wall, you don't know what to do. Maybe you just need to stand still and wait on God. Yes, sometimes He wants you to do some things in the midst of that. If it's to get a job, maybe He wants you to go put in an application. Just a thought. But trust Him, though. Rest through the process. Do you know what? I'm really off script here, and I'm adding to the time, but I felt led to go here. I don't know who this is for. Might be for you, for something that's coming up you don't know about next week. But when your back's against the wall and you really don't know what to do, you're struggling, and you've been trying to rest. The Hebrew writer said, labor to enter His rest. The only laboring you ought to be doing is to get back in His rest. You start worrying, you start calculating, you start saying, what if this happens, what if that happens? Take all those thoughts captive. Say, whoa, what am I doing? I've got to just rest. I trust Jesus. I trust God that's got this thing. I don't know how, I don't know when, but He's got this thing. And He's going to work powerfully. I've got to keep trusting Him. Preacher, I've been doing that, and nothing has still happened. What do I keep doing? You keep resting. You keep trusting. A breakthrough is right around the corner. You just keep trusting. Maybe He wants you to learn to trust Him totally, apart from what He's going to do for you. Sometimes we trust God because He's going to do something. He's going to get me out of this mess. I've had to walk through some fire for a while, and it happened in the midst of this church being started. Financially, we about lost our house. And now we've got more business than we know what to do with. You see the point? You've got to keep trusting. He taught me to trust Him. What if I lose my house? And God says, well, so what? Has anything happened between you and me? You see, the focus wasn't on what others were going to say about Carlton Rivers. He can't even keep a job. I had left full-time church pastor in Bethesda, and then he led me to start this with no money, no salary. You see, I had to do a lot of standing still that God will fight this battle. God will do through you what He has called you to do. There's a lot of trust goes on. You go through some very difficult times. One thing led to another. We didn't lose our house, and God sold the lake house I had too much debt on. And you know the story. We moved in an old double-wide trailer, had to take one back that I'd owned or financed. God provided. And now we just built a brand new house. I'm not saying look at Carlton Rivers. I'm saying look at God. He's got you in mind. He doesn't love me any more than He loves you. But it's not going to come in your timetable. It's not going to come how you think God's going to get you out of this. It's going to come by you just simply trusting Him. And He'll do things that you never thought possible. Let's move on real quickly. 1 Peter 11. It says, whoever speaks is to do so. And it goes on down to serve. You see, when I just simply set out to trust the Holy Spirit, I want to jump back to Galatians 5, 22, 23, 24, and 26, through 26. Right after he said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, on and on we go. Look at verse 24. Now to those who belong to Christ, by the way, that's everybody. Christ died for everybody. Not everybody's a Christian. Not everybody knows it. But this is talking about humanity. Have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful. You see, when I'm doing things in the flesh, and I'm striving, and I'm a better Christian, at least I know John over there. I don't know if there's a John here. I'm not pointing at you. That's just a common name. Okay. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. You see, when we've been under the law teaching like most of us have been, it's all about striving, it's about trying harder. This foundation breeds boastfulness, challenging one another, it breeds judgmentalism and so forth. And God is not interested in any of that. And the grace of God jerks the rug out from every bit of that, because we know it's all about Him. It ain't about me. If He's doing something good through me that He's not doing through you, well, guess what? It's Him doing it. It ain't me doing it. You see? He's going to do something through you that He ain't doing through me. Quit focusing on others. Focus on Him. 1 Corinthians, look at this. 13, 1 through 3. If I speak with tongues of men and angels but do not have love, I have become a noising gong and a clanging cymbal. This may be a different version on the screen, but if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith, so to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. What's the takeaway?
Love.
Love. God gives you the gift. God says simply be available, and He will empower you to use that gift. Guess what? Verse 11 says to serve others and to bring Him glory. What's your part? Just abide. Just rest. Just trust Him. I want to close with a little story talking about how spiritual gifts can bless one another. Several years ago, two students graduated from Chicago Kent College of Law. The highest ranking student in the class was a blind man named Overton. When Mr. Overton received his honor, he insisted that half of the credit should go to his friend, I'm going to call Casper. It's a long name that I can't even pronounce, okay? Casper. They had met one another in school when the armless Mr. Casper had guided the blind Mr. Overton down a flight of stairs. This acquaintance ripened into friendship and a beautiful example of interdependence. The blind man carried the books, which the armless man read aloud in their common study, and thus the individual deficiencies of each was compensated for by the other. After their graduation, they planned to practice law together. What a beautiful picture. I've been gifted with something maybe you hadn't been gifted of. We are to serve one another. And I believe the church needs to function that way. I'm not called to do what Adam and Jessica May did. I'm just telling you. I'm not really a youth person to get in there and do it. And I'm not called to do that. I think I do a little better with adults. That's debatable, I know. Okay. This week, be so wrapped up with how much God loves you. Did you notice what I said? Be so wrapped up this week about how much God loves you. Don't focus on you loving Him and others. Don't focus on trying to fervently serve one another or even to use your gifts. Focus on Him. But yet in the back of your mind, know this is what He wants to do. He wants to speak through you young people to friends. There's kids, I know I tell Angel this a lot. I said, you know, there's kids in class that everybody else makes fun of. They're new, they're overweight, they're whatever. And I said, maybe God wants you to befriend them. And every now and then she'd do the right thing. She comes home telling me, said, Dad, yeah, I heard them making fun of her. Nobody sat with them. And I invited them to sit with me. She's not perfect by no means. That's just an idea with you kids starting back to school. Maybe God wants to use you to make a difference in that person that's hurting. Maybe He wants to use old Carlton Rivers this week when I see somebody that we're working for just to be there to love them and care for them. Just be available for God to bless others through you. He'll bless you, but yet He wants to use you to be a blessing to other people. And often when you end up doing something for God to other people or serving somebody else, you the one gets more blessed than they do, right? Isn't that true? Wow, what a God. You cannot lose from just trusting Him, can you? Father, thank You for today. Thank You for just opening Your heart to our hearts and just for showing us a little bit more about who we are and how much You love us and how You really want to even do the work of the ministry through us. That it's not about us, what we can do. It's about what You want to do through us. Thank You that You've blessed us all with at least one gift. Many have way more than that. And You can raise up any gift in us at any time, whether it's to teach, whether it's to speak, whether it's to serve, whether it's just to pick up the phone or text somebody and just tell them that you love them, you were thinking about them. Knowing maybe you know somebody's going through a hard time. Just say, hey, I don't have the answers for you, but God does. Just hang in there. He's got this thing. Just love them and care for them. Father, whatever You would have us to do this week, we are available to be used of You. And we thank You that, God, You empower us to do whatever You call us to do. in Jesus' name, amen.